It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Eric Sorensen, who represents the 17th Congressional District of Illinois. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony, for having me.
Hey, it's great to see you. By the way, welcome to Congress.
Yeah. This is a crazy place. This is where we get all the work done, so I'm excited.
So, did you really ever dream that you would be a congressional member at some point in your life?
No, to think about the fact that, you know, of everybody who's ever been able to call themselves an American, not just the 300 and some million that we have today, there have only been 12,000 that have ever been elected to do this job. And so for me, it's deeply personal because I represent the district of Western Illinois where I was born and raised. You know, this is the place where I grew up. You know, I only wanted to aspire to be the weatherman on TV, and I got to do that in my hometown in the neighboring TV market from Rockford, Illinois to Moline, Illinois, and I did that for 20 years. And, you know, for me, it was waking up early. Who was watching at 4:30 in the morning? This was agriculture, right? You know, it's the home of John Deere. And for me to actually connect my community with the science that was needed, it was a great place to be. If I could have told my younger self that there's something even greater than your one dream, I'm living it today.
But it just goes to show you that there are opportunities to pivot along the way, and those experiences that we have from the past really prepare us for the future. Would you agree?
Right, right. And I think for me, it's knowing who I serve. Right, it's knowing why I'm here. I'm here for the people of the district. I don't work for anybody in Washington, D.C. You know, I work for the farm families. I work for the descendants of John Deere from 1844, who decided, you know, John Deere, when he moved from Grand Detour to Moline, Illinois, which was called Milltown at the time, to be able to build a factory, to build plows. And look where we are today. Look at what precision agriculture does for our family farmers today, and how are we incentivizing not only the innovation and technology of ag, but, you know, how are we getting our kids and our grandkids to understand their place in ag, but then also as a congressman, it's making sure that we're going to meet the needs so that they do have the ability to make it big in ag.
Member of the House Ag Committee, so let's stay in the district for a moment. Let's talk current conditions.
Right.
Maybe not a forecast, but what are we seeing right now? Dry conditions?
Right. So my job was a meteorologist before this. So it's understanding the impact of weather and extreme weather to agriculture. So important here. We just got done with a very late season snow melt in the upper Mississippi, caused a pretty significant flood on the upper Mississippi. That has gone away, but the difference between this year and 2019, for instance, was that late season melt off from the snow happened as we were getting into the rainy season, and so that was the worst, you know, combination we could have. Now the problem that we have is we didn't get the rainy season. Where is it? You know, farmers have been great to be able to plant, get seed in the ground, but now we're way behind schedule. So this is really going to affect our yields if we don't start getting these recurring patterns of rain. It does look long term. You know, talking with folks at NOAA and the Climate Prediction Center, which goes out 8 to 14 days, that we're going to change things a little bit.
Well, and you've hit on drought and flooding, obviously trying to do a little to help here.
Right.
What's happening here in Congress?
Well, here in Congress, you know, it's working on in the Agriculture Committee on the Farm Bill. I am a proponent of making sure that we utilize E15 all year round to bring the costs down. You know, when we look at, especially coming out of the pandemic, how hard it was for American families to make ends meet, we got to bring the cost of fuel down. And so I am a proponent of that. But it's also working with stakeholders for sustainable aviation fuel. For instance, in my district, I've got the second largest UPS air sorting hub outside of Louisville. I've got the fifth largest Amazon Air. They want to spend money. They want to spend money to meet their climate goals. But here's the thing, is we got to provide them with the biofuels. And so who are going to be the heroes in this? It's going to be our family farmers, the ones that are going to produce for the biofuels that we're going to need for that next generation. I got O'Hare Airport as well. And so when I go to a farm and farmers are like, wait a minute, our weatherman's now working for us to make sure that we're going to be sustainable into the future. It's a win-win, not just for the district, but for the people I represent.
I'm so glad you brought up aviation fuels. That seems to be something Department of Energy and Secretary Granholm is really pushing. Mm-hmm. Despite some of the other concerns about electric vehicles here and there, right. She's very clear to say, hey, we've got to have this. It's a huge market. Can your district, are you in a position really to start providing that?
Right. We had an agriculture roundtable in our office a couple of weeks ago now. So we put the stakeholders around the table. I am cognizant of the fact that, you know, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're probably on the menu. Right, so I want to make sure that we've got as many stakeholders and farmers at the table in ag to understand, all right, how do we advocate? How do we best solve these problems? And one of the things that I look at is sustainable aviation fuel. Well, look at the number of planes that are flying today. Compared to just 10, 20 years ago, it's gone up significantly. And these big corporations have set their own climate goals. Well, we have the ability to actually help them meet it. But also, these big corporations have set aside funds. And so those funds are going to come right back into our smaller communities. And not only does it help the farmer, but it helps the mom-and-pop shop in Chadwick, Illinois. It helps the bank that I bank at in Monmouth, Illinois. It is far-reaching by making this investment in agriculture.
Okay, you talk about rural communities, yeah. But we have a digital divide.
Right.
In other words, rural broadband is lacking. Is that on your radar?
Yeah, I mean it's something that that I've fought for. We brought Secretary Xochitl Torres to the district to be able to unveil funding for rural broadband. And what we've got to make sure that we do is that the rural broadband just doesn't go between point A and point B. It's got to hit all of the folks that are surrounding this straight line. Okay, so it's going to be more difficult. It's going to take more precision from the level of the representative to make sure that we're doing this the right way. But look, I mean, we're coming through a pandemic. You know, it's not just that parents had to drive their kids to Aledo, Illinois, so they could pick up the Wi-Fi at McDonald's. But also it means if we really want precision ag to work for our benefit, we've got to make sure that we've got good connection out on the farm.
So good to see you. Will you come back and see us down the road?
Absolutely.
Again,
my pleasure.
It's the Honorable Eric Sorensen, representing the 17th Congressional District of Illinois. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.